For an adult audience. For an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's happening, compadre? Great to see you. Looking good. Looking real good this morning. Yeah. Word engineeress Michelle just run off, too.
Ran away. Ourselves.
Yeah.
What,
all right.
Are you high?
Fantastic.
Are you
drunk? I'm feeling a little punchy.
You are.
I got my dog spayed today.
Ooh, that's traumatic for you. Remember what happened that last time?
My dog died.
Yes.
Right.
Woo.
And
I had a dog that freaked out after she got spayed.
What
she
happened?
Started just dragging her ass around everywhere.
Mm.
Just like tucking her ass around and driving through the ivy. It was crazy.
For how long?
It was like she was trying to run away from her perineum.
Yeah.
For about 2 weeks.
All right. Michelle, you gotta cushion the doors below so it doesn't do that. You know it would be less distracting in this god-awful studio if we had old-style Western doors. Just hingy ones, guys are coming, spurs clinking, guys calling each other out in the street, saying there's not enough room in this town for the two of us. You don't hear that line so much anymore, do you?
Town's not big enough for the two of us.
Yeah, they make that proclamation.
No.
All right.
Like, as if they ever did.
I don't think they ever did that, although the towns were small back
then.
Yeah. All right, where are we, Drew? So anyway, I don't know, my dog came home drugged. And you know when things around you are drugged, you start feeling drugged yourself, like, you've done that with me, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you see somebody around and they're really high and you like start feeling that, you start feeling surreal and kind of high yourself. When your dog is high, it's weird.
And especially when your dog comes home and then you light up a big joint.
Yeah. I didn't do that. But here's what I did think about. And I thought, I bet you Drew would say this I had a problem. My wife's like, we have tranquilizers for the dog that they want us to give. And I thought, wonder what's in those babies.
Oh.
I thought to myself. And then I thought, eh. And I thought, nah. And then I thought, eh.
You know,
it was pure noise. Oh. It wasn't any dialogue. Wasn't it any internal dialogue?
Huh?
Like, it was like, doggy tranquilized.
Energy.
Yeah, that's the third one was the sort of in between. And then I thought, in a pinch. Then I thought, now it's one of those you got a problem things.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
like when you're eating out of a dumpster.
Yeah.
It's one thing.
You're stealing out of other people's medicine cabinets. You're taking your dog's medicines.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying.
Same dialogue.
It's one thing when you're in a restaurant, you're walking to your table, and you grab a fry off a plate that was left.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But it's when you're eating out of the dumpster.
You got a problem.
Yeah. Like when I worked at McDonald's and I had to throw away like 13 filet of fish. And I ran out to the dumpster, and I just start shoving them in my face. Because that's what they do over there.
Where?
At McDonald's,
in Columbia.
McDonald's.
They throw
if somebody
out,
orders stuff and it sits around for more than an hour, you throw it out.
Yeah,
but there's no way I was going to throw away the filet of fish and the apple pie.
Well, maybe,
on the other hand, I couldn't be gone too long, so I had to pretend like I was just going there and throwing it out. I just started keistering them. I started shoving them. Never have calories been more empty. You know what I mean?
Like never have entered through as many orifices either. Though. But people aren't as aware of how, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Great radio,
yes,
by the way, Drew.
Ann sent me a message here.
Yes, I am. Fantastic.
That's good. It's good times.
You can't nod.
People can't nod.
No, there's only nodding.
It's only into the mic I nod. If somebody asked me a question,
no nodding. No thumbs up, nothing.
No.
There's a whole series of things, by the way, they're made so you don't have to talk. You know, they use them on aircraft carriers. They use them like Marines do.
See,
it.
I'm doing it now?
Marines do it. They do that thing where they touch their eyes, then they hold the hand up. That means stop. And then they do like four guys, and they do that look thing. They point the eye, and then they do that. That's what you need to learn. Yeah. All right.
What? People may not aware how deprived your childhood was from food. You kind of got to set that up a little bit, because there's one time when you went nuts in somebody's house.
Well, not one time, every time.
I beg your pardon.
But look, my mom was a health food nut.
Yeah.
Now she's just a nut.
Mm.
She, and let me tell you kids something, too, by the way. health food is a science now that sort of works. I mean, you can go get yourself some low-carb something or some low-fat something. They have spread that tastes like butter. Yes. They have things that are sweetened with fruit juice and low high pectin something or other. It's good. But 1970s health food? This tastes like you took a styrofoam cooler and a raccoon pissed on it.
And then you just ate it.
Oh, yeah.
You ate the styrofoam.
No, you did eat it. Yeah. Yeah, no, you didn't.
Not the pig. You ate the styrofoam.
Oh, no, yeah. It was a cooler that was soaked in raccoon urine, and that was considered a delicacy.
I mean,
they had nothing. They had, like, my mom had, like, 170-grain bread where you would start sawing it, and then smoke would start coming out, and you'd pull the knife back, and it had been melted down. All the serrated edge was smoothed out. You'd try to roll.
Or crumbles, yeah.
Peanut
butter that's actually just crushed up peanuts.
Oh, I'm suing. Let me tell look, everybody, let me explain. I don't think people even know there's such a thing as raw, you know, unroasted and unsalted peanut butter. Unsalted, unroasted, raw peanut butter just tastes like whatever they pulled out of someone when they're doing lipo.
Yes.
And someone mixed a little flour with it, and you try to spread it on the bread. And by the way, good luck spreading that peanut butter on the bread. You know how
the crazy bread.
Let me explain. Oh, the crazy bread. Yeah, it just picks up pieces of it as it rolls around the knife.
Like a rolling pin.
No, your butter knife becomes an axle.
Right.
And it just becomes like Fred Flintstone's tire of his car. It's a wheel of his car. You just roll. Here's how you get that stuff down, by the way. You get it down how you get Silly Putty down on the comic strip. You know, you mold it, you flatten it out, you mash it down, and then you have to ram it down your throat because it's the only way you can live.
And that was the only thing you could eat, if you got food at all. When Adam would go babysitting, he'd
babysit my neighbor.
Imagine that.
And then it was game on. And let me explain something. I have another friend over at Kimmel who was deprived. You create an animal.
Yes.
You're a
hungry animal.
I am like a bear that got into a campsite that broke into like a Winnebago. And I start going berserk in there. And it's like you got to make hay while the sun shines because I'm going back to a Krakow. You understand? I'm going. It's the
Dachau. You're going back to concentration camp.
Yeah, in Krakow. I don't know. They have any things in Poland over there?
Whatever.
All right, I'm going back to Dachau and Krakow. Auschwitz. That's where I'm going. I got nothing. I got zero over there.
So you throw open the pantry. I'm imagining a pantry in your neighbor's house.
Yes.
Where he found Count Chocula.
Well, I found here's
pie
what
filling.
Pie filling. Is
marshmallows.
What I got. Well, here's the thing about
and
pie.
Chocolate sauce.
Here's the thing about pie filling. There's a picture of a pie on the can, so it's like, huh? Pie in a can? There's
a can again. Bear.
I got
bear,
a can.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can of pie. It's pie in a can. This is great. I'm just staring at it. It's a beautiful looking piece of blueberry pie. Okay, open that up. Well, what's that? Just liquid sugar and contents and purple and whatever.
Where's something to stiffen
all right,
that up?
Dump that in a bowl. Let's thicken that up with some of those mini marshmallows and some Nestle Toll House, some bittersweet Toll House morsels. Thicken that up. Put a little peanut butter in there. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like a crazed stoner. Go insane.
He was creative.
I was creative. And I used to eat, I ate like a half a full turkey that was in the refrigerator once. I would just go
didn't
berserk.
The people like come home and go,
No, they would. They would. They would pay me $1 an hour and they were losing money. You know what I mean?
How did they bring it up? Like,
tactfully, once in a while, they would have something where they would be like, look, there's a ham that's in the refrigerator. That's for a party tomorrow night. So if you could, it was a little humiliating when I got a serious talking to you. There would be notes on stuff sometimes, but you know, everything else is fair game.
Skull and crossbones. No, Adam.
I roasted marshmallows on their stove.
Is that the one that Ray flicked at you and burned your face with?
My buddy Ray stuck it to my face while it was flaming. Yeah, he didn't. No, he didn't flick
good,
it on
good
me.
Friend. Good friend. Oh, he actually stuck it on.
No, I put a skewer through it. I lit it on fire. If anyone knows how a marshmallow burns, it makes a little noise. You know, I mean, it burns like a little torch.
Sterno, it's a little sterno.
And I was, it's Adam the Great, like a fire swallowing fire. And he whacked my elbow while it was against my face, and then it stuck to my cheek while it was on fire.
Mind you, it was going into your throat when he whacked your elbow.
It was somewhere around my mouth.
Yeah. Imagine if he'd actually accomplished what he intended to accomplish.
Well, still, the flaming marshmallow completely engulfed in flames and stuck to your cheek is a bad feeling, I got to say. And the burning stuff sticks to you, even if you flip the marshmallow off. It left a mark.
How old were you?
I was 13, probably. I used to babysit my neighbor, and I would invite my friends over to eat, you know, hang out, too. And then, the quest for the Playboy. That's a whole nother story.
Ooh, that's an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulling out a knife, slitting open furniture, pulling stuff out, turn the painting
over.
But
they don't have that anymore. Now they go onto a computer, and they go on a search.
Oh, crazy. You know? Crazy. These kids, they got. Yeah.
Be interesting. We need to get some calls on people, guys our age that could relate to the quest for the Playboy.
Oh my God! I don't think they're going to call them. No. They don't know. They don't know from health food. They don't know from Playboy.
Porn.
They don't know. No.
No.
They don't know.
Yeah. It's a deprived life.
Lauren.
Hello.
Phone call.
Yeah, Lauren. What's
Lauren.
Up?
Hello.
Hey there.
What's happening?
Hi. Sorry.
What's
I'm pregnant.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you in the bathroom?
No.
Where are you?
Sorry.
Are you leaving the house? All right.
Yeah, he can't. Somebody can't hear this. So.
Somebody can't?
All right.
Yeah. That's and my boyfriend's brother.
All right.
I'm 20 and my boyfriend's 21 and we've been together for a while. But ever since I've got pregnant, not actually just these past couple of months, he's been going out a whole lot with his friends. And at first I thought that was fine, but then now I'm thinking he's cheating on me. And I'm not for sure. I don't know if this is like his like sowing up his oats before we have our baby.
How pregnant are you? How far along are you? Yeah, you know, guys freak out around the time that women come near the delivery. A and B, there's sort of no more vulnerable time for you, and so him not being available, not supporting, of course, evokes all kinds of fantasies about what he's doing.
Yeah. Also, I mean, 21-year-old guys aren't ready for anything. They can't handle anything. I wouldn't. No. I trust them with a lizard in a
Right. So I would not jump to him cheating necessarily, even though his behavior is not okay. It doesn't mean he's cheating.
Lauren.
Well, I asked him tonight if he was sleeping with somebody else, and he just kind of stared at me for a long time, real weird, and then he goes, well, I'm not having sex with anybody else.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know if that means, like, he has feelings for somebody else or, you know.
No, listen, Laura, the 21-year-old jack-off does not have feelings for anybody. Don't worry about that.
Well.
You know what I mean?
Hold on a second. Are you living with him, and are you living with his brother, too?
Well, we've been together for a long time, and then we've been living together for about 9 or 10 months.
Yeah.
And we just recently moved in with his brother.
Have you been having trouble? Has this relationship been in trouble?
No. Let me say this.
White trash.
First, whenever you're living with the brother, there's some sort of weird, it's albino white trash. I don't know what it is. You shouldn't live with your brother or your sister. I don't know why it's so bad, but it always is. Mm. It's always a nightmare. Any family member, once you move out of your house, disaster. Mm. Unless you're gay, then you can live with your sister.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not noticed that.
Don't think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
You're gay, you're young, you're an architect, you're on the move, you have a beautiful pad. Just sort of going here. Sister's sweet, she accepts you. She kind of knows your parents are a little pissed, but she sides with you.
Oh, I see.
She's great, she tries to set you up with guys.
All right, there you go.
You know what I mean?
It's a sitcom, man.
It's West LA, things are cool. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where are we talking to? Yeah, so if you're gay, it's cool. Lauren?
Yeah?
Well, here's...
That's the name of the sitcom.
Lauren?
If you're gay, it's cool.
Oh, you're gay, it's cool. So here's the thing, Lauren. Why don't you give this kid up for adoption? This doesn't sound like it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be a great life for the kid, and
anybody.
I know it's not going to be a good
for
one for you.
How about that, Lauren?
How about adoption?
Be courageous.
Yeah.
Well, actually, before I called you guys, I was discussing that with my best friend, but...
Not with your. Where are your parents?
My mom just drug addict? Back to Oklahoma to be near me and her grandchild, and my dad died when I was 6.
Your grandchild meaning the one that you're about to have, or no. Another child?
Yeah. No, this is my first child. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me figure this out. What about your man? What if you said, I'm going to give this kid up for adoption? Would he be relieved?
Well, when I first got pregnant, I think he kind of wanted me to consider adoption. Mm-hmm. He knows I would never consider abortion, never.
All right, mm-hmm. Lauren, please. Right. It's a courageous decision to give this child.
Right.
The parents
point is,
really are ready to raise a child.
It's
going to
be the best day of his life.
Yeah,
if you give the kid up for adoption.
Of course, he's not. He's freaking out.
He's 21. He's an idiot. Who knows what he's doing? And that cryptic answer of
I'm not having sex.
Well,
with
not having sex is bizarre. It's abusive someone who's 7 months pregnant.
Vicious.
Well, let's not go overboard.
Well, she's 7 months pregnant. She's vulnerable. She's trying to carry a kid.
And by the way, who knows what she's hearing?
What he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stopped. He stared at me for a long time. Who knows what that is?
Might have been a beat.
Yeah. Okay. Give the kid up for adoption, and I don't know. Maybe this guy's not the right guy.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take ourselves another call here.
No surprise to be with an abandoning guy, though. Her dad was gone.
Right. Morgan?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Small speech here. Here's the plan, everybody. The politicians are too big a pussies to ever bring it up. We just had an election, and never, ever, 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 ever comes up. But
screwed up people having kids?
Screwed up people having kids, poor people having kids, young people having kids, young screwed up poor people having kids.
Young screwed up rich people having kids.
Not such a problem. And by the way, how many young screwed up rich people are having kids? Okay, let's put it this way. Go to prisons and start interviewing inmates, all right? See what percentage of them had extraordinarily wealthy young parents.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
All right, so shut up.
Mm.
You're just trying to be politically correct. You know what I'm talking about. Thank you. So here's what I'm saying. You know there's nobody with money. Look, here's the deal. Everyone thinks me yelling poor people shouldn't have kids is sort of, now, next thing you know, I want to start putting numbers on people, and I'm going to have to look at a pay stub before you have intercourse. No. You know what? Look, having a kid when you're
requires resources to have a kid.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to wear a top hat and look like the Monopoly man. You have to have enough money for health care. No. You have to have enough money for housing.
Food.
And look, safety. When you're poor, you drive a piece of ass old mini pickup truck. It doesn't have airbags. It doesn't have a headrest. It doesn't have the side impact thing. It's not no good place to put the child seat.
But
think about how much safer it is if you have a few bucks.
More importantly, if you have a kid when you are poor, you're guaranteed you're going to stay poor.
That's right.
You can't move.
That's right.
So it's not, you know.
Yes. And it's not like there weren't times when everyone you know, no matter how well off or how good they're doing or how great the parents are, shouldn't have had a kid. Drew, world's greatest dad. Kid's still going to need a lot of therapy.
At 20? No way. 25? No way.
No way.
No way.
I mean, could you imagine if one of those candy stripers had wanted to keep the kid?
Oh, my. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be horrible. Plus, it'd be weird because you'd have a kid who's like 23.
Oh.
Gay. Talking back to you. Shut up. You're not my boss. Now, let me borrow some money.
Can I have concert tickets?
Yeah. Bad, because you only got him the Lexus SUVs, Matt. You didn't give him the Mercedes or the Porsche. Hating you. You want him to be a doctor. He wants to be a performance artist where he just defecates on religious icons. And he's mad because you don't show up. Yeah. That's what it's going to be like.
Be the life of a Corolla.
Here's my point. Look. All the problems in this society, but we'll just focus on this country for a second. All the unemployment, the prison population, the congestion.
Put it all under misery.
All the violence. What about all the abuse that's perpetrated on other people, the wives, the battering, all the stuff. All of it. All the drug abuse, the homelessness, all of it. Effed up families. Yes, it's not impossible that your parents are rich and nurturing and take care of you and you become homeless. It's not impossible that you come from a good background and end up in prison. It's just not probable at all. why there's no connection. Of course, everyone knows the connection. Why we then don't set our sights on what essentially is the breeding ground for the next batch of violent criminals, drug addicts, and the unemployed. Why no one will focus on that is beyond me. I think it starts bleeding into some sort of racism or some sort of a socioeconomic something where you're holding down the poor,
reproductive
rights, or you're playing God. I don't understand why politicians will not touch that when it's the most obvious glaring problem in this society.
You're talking about helping people make better choices. That's all. So they don't abuse, they don't abandon, so they can handle, move up this economic ladder.
We're telling...
Finish their education.
Yeah, we're telling, 19-year-olds who have a GED not to crap out their third kid. Not for us, for them.
Yeah.
For the love of F. Jesus Christ.
Let's play a little Germany or Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's play Germany or Florida. This is, this game, I'll tell you something. This game, it's a juggernaut, Drew. It started off as sort of, we did it on a whim, and now it's bigger than the show.
It may spin off to Ace's Ranchero countdown, accordion countdown.
No, I mean it may spin off into its own radio show.
Oh, Germany or Florida.
Yeah. You remember like what the Jeffersons did with All in the Family?
Mm.
It could do that.
Yeah.
And possibly be more successful. Mark DiCarlo would host. Kick the crap out of the show and the ratings. It'd be like bitten by your own snake. All right, here's how it works. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. You call up, you tell us what the bizarre story is, and we guess. Is it Germany or is it Florida?
We don't guess. We tell them.
We tell you. And oftentimes we're wrong, but we're still going to tell you. Trevor?
Things are sick and twisted from
theme song.
On a Nazi.
That's right.
Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got
the new one.
Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
He already cracks himself up towards the end.
I think that may have been me.
All right. All right, Trevor, here we go.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. All right. A terrible diet and a room with no ventilation are being blamed for the death of a man killed by his own gas. This is related to Hobo Power, by the way.
Wow.
There were no marks found on his body, but an autopsy revealed the presence of large amounts of methane dissolved in his blood. His diet contained just the right combination of foods to produce this severe gas attack. It appears the man died in his sleep from breathing the poisonous cloud that was hanging above his
bed. Oh, Adam, it could happen to you. It could happen.
Nah, not to me, to my wife. I'll build up an immunity to it.
Had his windows been open.
Yeah, go ahead.
Flatulence wouldn't have been fatal, but the man was shut up in a nearly airtight bedroom. He was an obese man with an unlimited capacity for creating the deadly gas.
Yeah.
Three rescuers became sick and one was hospitalized.
Wow.
No way.
All right,
I don't know if I believe that.
This is from the Star Tribune or something. Yeah. And by the way, obese guys once in a while die in their sleep. Drew is a doctor.
Yes, they
once
have some sleep apnea.
It's usually from gas, so, right? All right, let's just say it's true. Here's what I'm thinking. Obese, I think Florida.
Yes.
But
no windows.
Mm.
Not Florida.
And the diet, cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
Krauts over there.
Germany.
Yeah. Cabbage gas.
Germany.
Cabbage, very powerful.
Yeah.
We're going Germany because of the cabbage diet.
And no windows. You can't live in Florida with no windows.
Yes.
You got it. Germany.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it Germany or Florida. And that's why Drew pointed out that we don't guess.
We tell you.
We tell you what it was. Yeah.
Hmm.
What a way to go.
I mean, you'd have a euphoric experience yourself. How are you being so impressed?
I was watching the news tonight, by the way, and, you know, as a woman was killed or is clinging to life because someone threw a 20-pound frozen turkey and it like went through her car windshield and whacked her in the head.
What?
Yeah, and then, by the way, there's no material known to man that is harder than a frozen turkey. If you've ever felt a frozen turkey, if you've ever whacked on a frozen turkey.
It's so dense.
Spent uranium, depleted uranium, not harder. Military should be looking into frozen turkeys for like a bunker busters and ways to, you know, it'll go through seven, 8 inches of hardened steel on a tank turret. Anyway, the point is you think when people die once in a while from something bizarre, like, what happened?
Mm. Turkey.
What? Ate her? What, bit her? No, frozen. I mean, it's like, where do you go? What kind of look? What's the appropriate response? You know what I'm saying?
You hang your head and go,
My grandfather went the same way. And this same thing with the gas thing. It's really toughest on the family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened? What happened to Big Lou? Well, the coroner reports not, you know, they, you know what I'm saying?
It's not conclusive,
it's gotta
but
be rough.
Yeah.
He ate Mexican. That he was always.
He had a heart attack. Mexican heart attack.
All right, and Drew, when you go in your sleep or when you go, it doesn't a lot of methane come out of your body like when you're starting the decomposition process?
It's H2S. That's a little different. Oh man,
I like
methane.
The S part.
Yeah. There's something wrong with it. With that whole story.
All right,
yeah.
But still,
they don't check for methane dissolved in blood. Believe me. By the way.
Quincy, this man wasn't strangled. Someone farted on him, and they go into commercial. Ba-ba!
Look at this room.
All right, let's. That's crap.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But I'd like to believe we live in a world where someone actually did die from their own gas.
And
but I don't think it's going to happen.
We figured it out.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Forget it. Talk to Anna. All right, here's the comedy. Here's the thing. People walk in and out of the studio. It seems like solely when the mics are hot, and it's everyone's doing their business, but they're running in and out. It always drives me berserk because the door is always slamming.
And it's getting pretty good at doing
during
it
the show. Anna is doing it quietly.
Yeah,
yes,
it's but Laura here, that smacks it open. And
well. Yeah, engineer Michelle comes in like the SWAT team.
Yeah.
Explosive charge goes off, then in lobs a concussion grenade, and she does a shoulder roll
right,
into the place.
Kicks
during the
door
show.
Shut on the way out.
That's right. It hits her at the back of her. She only wears a steel shank boot. She found the rubber sole ones don't make as much noise when they hit the metal door. So here's the funny thing. So I thought, I thought it always drives me nuts. So Anne was in the studio during the commercial giving us some stuff we got to talk about. And I was thinking to myself, all right, I'm going to say, but look, don't come in during it. But I didn't want to come across weird or whatever. But please, everyone know it drives me insane with the in and the out during the whatever. So I could hear the music start swelling up. I knew we were coming back from commercial break and the show was starting. And Anne started walking for the door. And I thought, okay, good. She's going to make it. She's opened the door. She's going to make it out the door and shut it. And actually, the mics will be on after the door is shut, and that'll be awesome. And she opened the door, and I was like, "Go, yes." I could tell the music, and it was going to be a close one. And she started taking a step out, and Drew, in perfect, like Drew, like uncanny form, like cat-like instincts, like leans back, and goes, "Hey, Ann, hold up." And I'm like, "Is this a?" How do you get inside my brain? Like, how do you
it's
know
amazing.
What I'm thinking? Do I,
it's
how,
amazing.
How do you know?
I can time it too.
How do you know what I know and don't know it? Like, you clearly know a lot of things. How do you know? Like, if there's a million things, how do you only know the 500,000 things that I don't know, but you don't know the 500 that I do? You know what I mean? That's uncanny.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a talent to be able to pick the winner of a horse race every time. But it's a bigger talent to pick the 9 losers.
Right.
And I think that's you, Drew.
Yes, every time.
Yeah, I think you could pick the horse that came in last every single time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? How did you know that it was like a race against the clock, and I was obsessing, and I was thinking, oh my God, where the door's going to close before the mics heat up? I can't. How did you know? And how often do you stop Anne when she's walking out the door like that?
Only when you're obsessing.
I was obsessing over it. I was like, oh, we're going to make it. Oh no, what'd you need from Anne, by the way?
To tell her that some calls changed. Okay. I was going to point at things for her.
All right.
But
show business.
We have no calls. That's all right.
Yeah. We have no calls. Yeah. No calls. Tell that to young Morgan, who's 14. Morgan?
Yes?
Drew looks at you as a non-call. I look at you as an individual and a precious caller.
Okay.
So what's up? You should ask your question until it reminds me of a story.
Okay. When I was 8 years old, my brother was in my room, and he was about 10, 11, and he forced me to show him, of course, my, I guess you could say, body parts that were Not supposed to be shown, but
When hold on, when you were eight, he was 11.
Yeah.
No, you were
she
eight.
She was eight, he was 11.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you say forced, what do you mean?
Like, I didn't really want to, but it kind of happened anyway.
All right.
So, and okay. Then he made me touch him, so it was...
And just touch him or stimulate him or what?
I don't know what his intent was, but he made me touch him, so...
Just touch, not stimulate him?
Well, what do you mean? You mean give him a handy?
Right.
That's what touch means.
Not that, more like exploring, I guess you could say.
All right. All right, and now you're 14, and what's up?
I'm just wondering if this could have affected anything, like my sexuality, or if it, what it means, basically, because I really have no idea what to think of it.
Well, well, here's the thing. Here's the bigger problem. You're calling from Bakersfield.
That's already trauma.
That's going to affect your sexuality.
And everything else.
In a big way. Now, how's your brother doing now that he's, I don't know,
he's 20? Like he's like addicted to marijuana, and he's, I don't know.
He was probably sexually abused in some way himself, probably by an adult, but not overly.
Drew and I, we argue about this. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if he was, like, sexually abused, but my father was pretty abusive to him when...
Yeah. By the way, I swear, when we see Bakersfield, it really... Here's our new rule. If I see Bakersfield or Riverside, I'm going to assume sexual and physical abuse unless you otherwise mention it.
We'll just call it Abuserfield.
Yeah.
From now on.
No, I'm just... I will assume you're abused until you pipe up and say you weren't when you're calling from Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it goes. And it's a super albino white trash over there. So here's the thing. You're asking the right questions. Don't look at yourself as damaged goods.
It's troubling her quite a bit. You can hear it in her voice, right?
Yeah.
So if you really do want some help, find a counselor. Maybe tell somebody at school, a teacher or a counselor there you can talk to. If you have a kind of relationship with your mother, your parents.
What's up with the phones, by the way?
I know they're not right
tonight. No,
They're fading in and out. You can ask for a referral to a psychiatrist or a doctor to get therapy and this kind of thing. This can bother you. It may not have a huge effect on you, but it might.
The fact
that you have an abusive alcoholic
bigger part.
Yeah.
Morgan? Yeah.
I have a counselor, but I really can't talk to her. Like, I can't get anything out.
Why?
I just sit there and I don't know. I can't trust
Well, then
people.
Tell her you're having trouble telling her things. At least do that. All right?
That's interesting.
And that there are things you want to talk about but are having trouble doing it. And maybe if she's a good counselor, she will find ways to get you.
And what do you mean you have a counselor?
I see her like every 2 weeks. I don't know. We talk about like the day. We don't talk about anything that's important.
Is it a social worker?
So.
Is it a social worker?
The line's too effed up. Here's the whole thing, too. Most of these people, first off, will cruise if you want to cruise.
What do you mean?
Counselors.
We'll go.
If you want to cruise, they'll cruise with you. You don't have to. You know. You don't have to start bringing up molestation.
And
stuff.
If you would put it in cruise mode.
Yeah, you just want to go in there and sit down for 50 minutes and go. My locker was stuck today, and I started getting angry, and then I realized it wasn't the locker's fault, and they'll go. Oh, okay.
Well, for some people, that's to stay in the here and now is actually therapeutically appropriate.
Yeah, well,
however,
listen, it couldn't hurt.
For
but
you, Corolla, I've been telling you for years, you don't talk to your therapist about anything. You don't talk to him about your masturbatory habits.
How dare you?
You don't talk to him.
He could be listening.
You don't talk about the sexual compulsion, the deprivation.
Sexual compulsion.
You don't bring up any of that.
You who spreads your passion far and wide, talks to me about sexual compulsion. How dare you?
I don't talk to my therapist about that.
I would hope you don't burden your poor therapist with an inappropriate discussion.
Oh,
please. Well, have some decorum, man.
Yes.
It's like
Saint Adam.
No,
yes,
look, I got bigger fish to fry than talking to my therapist.
What are you talking about? That's the key core stuff. And you talk about your locker.
Sexual compulsion.
Yes,
I'm not sexually
trauma
compulsive.
History.
Trauma. How dare you? I was idealized as a young lad.
Have you ever seen Adam so stunned and unable to respond to something? Don't you know I'm onto something here?
Yeah. Drew, you should know. Yeah, yeah. You should know you're not on to something because you think you're on to something,
well,
and you've never
point.
Been on to anything.
Well done.
Okay, so What were we talking about?
I don't know.
All right, the shrink. Yes, I'm wide open with what's wrong with other people.
That's exactly.
Yeah,
precisely.
I'm fine.
Your
what
mom,
are you talking
your grandma,
about? Yeah,
it's like,
sure. Yeah.
An engine turning over. What therapist to stop you? And,
what? Yeah. What? I pay him. He's not going to stop me. He's a yes man. He's like my. He's in my posse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I basically look. Here's what I use my therapist for. It's like I'm a rapper who just stepped off stage. I need a towel and some like gin and juice, and I need you to tell me how good I sounded. You know what I'm saying? Never better, boss.
You got the right therapist.
Top of your game.
You got the right therapist.
That's
have
right.
Have a little Ranchero Countdown.
No.
Just a little bit.
Should we play along with one of the callers, by the way?
Sure.
All right.
Let's pick one here.
I'll talk to Mandy.
Okay.
She sweats profusely, so she said we're kindred spirits. Mandy?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yeah. For the past year,
Hold on. I know you have a serious medical condition, but it's time to play Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown, okay?
Okay.
All right, do you know how the game is played?
No.
All right.
Well, she'll play it. Well,
wait a minute, Drew. Not a fan of the show. She was a fan. She knew how Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown was played. So, I need to talk to a fan. Candace?
No.
Yes? You know how... Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown is played?
I think so.
No, not a fan.
Hmm?
Try Line 4, pick it up.
How's it played? No, too long.
Four. This could line take all four? Night, guys.
Why 4? There's no one on 4.
You're going to find a fan.
Oh,
yeah,
up.
Yes. What are you doing?
Darwin, there's no one on Line 4.
There
I don't even know what their name is. Caller? Yeah.
Yes, caller.
Shut up. Darwin?
Yeah.
You a fan of Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown?
Hell yeah.
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
Do you know how it's played?
Yeah.
How's it played?
I have to guess how many seconds the accordion
comes right.
up in the
fine.
Top.
Thank you. Thank you. True. Never gets
right.
tired.
So good, Darwin.
Never gets tired.
14, right. 9, immediately 2. What you gonna do? Mexican musicians breaking it down on Ace's Accordion. Countdown.
There you go. Another fabulous theme song. So, Darwin, I'm going to put you up first and ask you time that the accordion comes in.
I'm going to go for three seconds.
3 seconds. Oh, he's been listening. He knows the game well. Drew, what do you have?
Are we going with Michelle's or with Anderson's?
We're going with Michelle's.
7 seconds.
7 seconds. Wow, this is tough. 7 seconds. I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go right in the middle.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'll cue you, Engineer Michelle, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Immediate.
Instant.
Yeah. Instant. Yeah, keep it going. Let's not let this party end. So here's the thing, Darwin. It was immediate. You went 3. Drew went 7. I went 5. You won.
Yeah.
It's a certain kind of pride a man has when he wins Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown, yes?
Yep.
You first off, you're probably already the toast of the town.
And you're North Hollywood.
You're liable to get laid tonight.
But this gotta go out, right?
Yeah. No, you may not even have to leave the house.
She have this music booming from his car, though, shouldn't they?
Right, yeah. Right now, models are driving toward your living room in their car. Just mysteriously yet. Being pulled. Like they're in some sort of graviton tractor ray. All right, hold on a second, Darwin. I kind of like this one, actually. Wow, talk about accordion.
I downloaded some new stuff tonight.
Wow, this is strong. Listen to the accordion here, Drew. Wow. All right. Young prodigy at the accordion. All right, shall we take ourselves a little break?
Yeah, why don't we?
Wow. You know what, Drew? We're 0 for 2 with Ace's Ranchero Mexican Accordion Countdown when we play with the callers.
Yeah, well,
Mm-hmm.
They're better than we are.
All right. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Drew, who? Mandy? Candace? Here John, who are we talking to?
Candace.
Yeah, Candace. After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Gary Dorden was supposed to be in here
tonight.
That's right.
Yep.
But he'll be tomorrow night. From CSI. Yeah. He is, I think their 100th anniversary is tomorrow night, by the way. Or 100th show, I shouldn't say, anniversary. It's weird, you're getting old. It's like, saw the newspaper, saw the trades today. It's like 100 episodes of My Wife and Kids.
Wow.
Is it this season? Is it 100 already?
Wow.
No, it's going on its fifth season or six or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the like Damon Wayans or But the point is, 100 episodes. I mean, it used to be like a landmark. Oh, MASH made it to 100 episodes. Yeah. They're All in the Family, 100 episodes. You know, it was a big deal. Now My Wife and Kids, 100 episodes.
Well, by the way, it was also something where people would sort of acknowledge as an extended period of time had been passed on television.
Right.
I think it's now a dynasty on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what it'll do for syndication when there's too much stuff to syndicate.
Right. There's no room for it.
Yeah, or it's no, just please stop with the noise. You know, back in the day, there just wasn't that many sitcoms, let's say, that made 100 episodes. You had your choice between a handful of them, like, you know, sort of perennials, and they would just run those into the ground, and then once in a while, a new show would make it to 100, and everyone would go nuts. Oh, my God, Seinfeld can be syndicated now, or Frasier can be syndicated. Now you're according to Jim and My Wife and Kids and Just Shoot Me and stuff. Like, everything's got 100 episodes. Seems like it's going to drive the price down a little.
Seems like it.
Seems like it should be. Are you ready to go, Eric?
Here we go.
Ready to run?
I want to finish with Mandy here, who's told us she was sweating.
Yeah. Not a big fan of the show, as it turns out, though. Yeah. What's up, Mandy?
Hi. So for the past year, I've been waking up with excessive amounts of sweat every time I'm with my boyfriend. And it's not the most sexiest thing to wake up and, like, be drenched in sweat as if I've been dancing for 2 hours. I mean, it's obviously, you know, like, urine and everything else. And I'm scared that I'm going through, like, an early menopause or something.
Hold on. First off, is urine and everything else?
Huh?
You mean it's a body fluid? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, so...
Well, you said it's like urine and everything else.
I mean, it smells like it because, you know, it's the skin is...
Body odor.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, wait a second.
I know.
Hold on. I wake up in a puddle. I'm sweating excessively. It smells like urine.
It's like urine and everything else. Quote.
What is it? And then smells like urine, she said. She said it smelled like urine.
B.O., I think she means.
Well, you fed her the BO line. Mandy, what...
I'm saying that I wake up and I'm completely drenched and it smells really bad like urine. And besides...
Could it be urine?
Genius. and then my soul leaks out through my rectum. It's brown.
It smells like stool.
Smear smells like stool. It's... suspicious because I ate corn chowder. Hear me out. The night before, and if I didn't,
my corn,
if I didn't know it was my soul, if I did not know it was my soul being extruded in my sleep, I would swear it was. I mean, it had a flavor of stool. You wake up in a puddle of something that smells like urine,
and immediately go sweat.
Gotta be sweat. How about just call it why don't we just say it was perfume that was leaking out of you, or you know, maybe like saline solution or something
holy
even
water.
Better than sweat. Yeah, what about holy water? Mandy, how do you know it's not urine?
No, it is sweat, trust me. I wake up in a cold sweat, in a disgusting cold. I'm not saying I'm in a puddle, I'm drenched in a cold sweat.
Yeah, but it smells like urine.
Why does it smell like urine?
Because, I mean, sweat obviously smells bad, right? I mean, that's what my boyfriend says. He said it smells like urine. That's his...
Maybe
that's
his it is quote. Urine.
Not all over my body.
No. All right, well, listen. Here's the deal. Are you on any medication?
I'm on a birth control pill and, like, an antidepressant.
Which one?
on Effexor.
That can cause some sweating. Number two,
Effexor can cause some sweating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you just doing this when you're with him or every night no matter what?
No, just with him. And it's it's getting to the point
what
where...
What is it about being with him? Is it heavier sheets?
It's another body.
It bothers you, but is it possible you're drenching?
No. There's a heat source in the sack with her.
All right. But is it possible you're getting drenching sweats on other nights other than with him?
Not as much. It's not as often.
But the reality is the drenching night sweats is a medical issue.
It is.
Could be from your medication. It's definitely not menopause, though. The birth control pills can also be associated with this. But a drenching night sweat needs to be considered a medical problem to prove it otherwise.
I know.
Things like TB, leukemia, all kinds of goofy things can do this. It's probably nothing, but it needs to be checked out, okay?
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't deathly because I have extremely swollen lymph nodes, too, for the past year.
That's lymphoma, leukemia, yes. Night sweats, night fevers, absolutely.
Go to my doctor and get tested.
It'd be a good
very
idea.
Very quickly.
Okay.
Tuberculosis, other the things called sarcoidosis, other lymphatic borne diseases can cause night sweats,
Manny must have been hot. Manny, are you hot?
Kind of. Next door.
Girl next door.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Please get night sweats right away.
I know because I only get it like 3 times a week.
Yeah.
3 drenches.
I told you, got checked out.
You got checked out. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. So, Gary Dorn will be in here tomorrow night from CSI. And, I was looking at the other way. Yeah, we got a bunch of good people coming up. I can't remember any of them, but Aaron.
Right. They told me too, yeah.
Aaron came by, and I went, it's always good to. It's nice to be.
We have Jamie Kennedy.
That we know. Oh, what
suck
else
my
do we
white
know?
Balls.
No, different Kennedy.
Different Kennedy.
Suck my white balls.
All right. That's the Virgin Kennedy.
Yeah.
I just got to talk to this guy. He wants to change the name of Aces, Mexican, Ranchero, Accordion, Countdown. Billy?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm all ears, but it's got to be good. I mean, I really have to be impressed by this name because, first off, I've already had the Windbreakers and the Maracas. I already had them printed up.
Oh, Maracas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
And by the way, it describes the game. How much better are you going to get than that?
Yeah, like something like Jeopardy. You know, you take a game show like Jeopardy, huh?
Yeah.
What's that mean? I don't know. Doesn't mean anything to me. You get nothing. But Aces...
Wheel of Fortune.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You get warmer. Yeah. Aces... Mexican, Ranchero, Accordion, Countdown. What else do you need to know?
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like applesauce. Well, what is it? Well,
you're goddamn wrong.
It's applesauce.
Too long. So what's your answer?
What do you got?
I don't know. Maybe an acronym for it or some catchy like that.
Such as?
I don't know. What's up?
Okay.
Oh,
listen.
Boy.
Earth to Retarded Screeners. If you want to change, you got someone who wants to change the name. I don't know. It should be shorter. Well, what do you got? Maybe an acronym. Oh, like what? Oh. Yeah. All right. You got to ask them. Here's the thing. If someone calls up and has an idea for something that's better than what we have, you have to ask them what it is. Yeah, don't take their word for it.
Whatever they're calling about, you need to ask them what they're calling about.
Right. Yeah? I'm curious. I want to get a glimpse at Billy's mind. Billy, what compels you to call up but not have, you know, it's like as if I put some trivia out there on the air and said, like, what year did the Lusitania sink? 1918, 1917, or 1915? All right, shut up.
He's actually answering.
All right. Would you call the show if you didn't have an answer?
Yeah.
It's a weird impulse. Like, I would sit there and go, if I knew, I would call. If I didn't, I don't think I would.
Call the show.
Billy, are you stoned?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Not this second.
All right, so let's get back to the subject. What year did the Lusitania sink?
Well, let's see, around... World War II era?
No.
Remember I gave you the choice with the 1917 and 1918? I did. All right, buddy. All right, here's the deal. No calling the show for 5 years. I'll for sure be gone by then.
You're a dick to a lot of people on the air.
They're dicks to me. I got to talk to these idiots every night. I don't like your... All right, well, what do you got? Well, maybe...
Let's get to a real caller. Who's Candace?
Yeah. All right, true.
Stay away from the guys. Come on.
You're right. Guys are dicks. Candace, I even hate myself. Candace, you're 17.
That's the drop for the end of the show, by the way.
What's up?
My boyfriend is coming to visit me next week, and we've been talking about having sex.
And what do you mean he's... Whoa. What do you mean he's coming to visit you? Where is he?
He's in Maryland in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. And did he move away or something? I mean, what... I'm confused.
No, I went to visit him last summer, and we spent...
Oh, well, that answers so many questions. He didn't move away. He went to visit him.
I see.
I used to live closer to him, and then because we knew each other when we were young.
Okay. And you used to live closer to where?
Maryland?
Yeah, so closer to Salisbury. That's where
Salisbury.
So he's from Salisbury. here's what I guess what I'm asking is is he stationed at a base that's where essentially he grew up?
Well, he's not exactly in basic yet, but he will be stationed here at Hill Air Force Base.
So he's down at Hill.
He gets out of basic.
Right.
But he's not in basic yet.
He has been recruited.
Okay, So,
oh boy.
All right, so I guess I was an idiot for trying to talk, but he's in Maryland. He lives in Maryland.
Yeah, he's not up for the Air Force.
He's not in the Air Force now.
He's signing up.
Right, because their first thing is he's in the Air Force, and the second one is he grew up in Maryland and he's in Air Force in Maryland. And I thought, well, how convenient that he, you know, most guys ship out,
right,
or fly out or do whatever. So he's not in Maryland.
No.
No, he is in Maryland, but he's not in the Air Force yet. Okay, Candace.
Yeah.
So don't ever give anyone directions. Like, if you're standing by the side of the road and they pull up and they go, hey, where's the old Johnson farm? Go, And they go, seriously, I got to get there. And even if you live at the old Johnson farm, just go,
Yeah.
So he's coming out from Maryland and he's going to go, you're calling from Utah.
Yeah.
And he's gonna do his training at a base in Utah.
Maybe, we'll see.
No, he's going to San Antonio, Texas for basic, and then after basic, he's getting stationed here at Hill Air Force Base.
So he says.
How does he determine
where he's going to be stationed?
Yeah, do you get pick of the litter?
Before he's even enrolled.
Yeah.
They,
I think it's enlisted.
They told him at one of his commander's call meetings that he'll be shipped out to a base of his first choosing. And nobody wants to come here to Utah, so he's more than likely going to be shipped out here.
Wow, it's good times.
Rather go to Iraq?
Like, yeah. Fallujah or Utah?
Utah, no way.
Well, let's see. They don't sell beer after the streetlights come on, do they, over there? Yeah. No, I go to Fallujah. I'll bring a flask and go to Fallujah. Take my chances. That's a bad sign, by the way, when you're Utah.
Kansas, don't have sex with them yet. Relax, you're 17.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 18. He's a year and a half older than me.
Wait till you're 18, okay? Just follow my direction on that one.
Yeah, but you know why, Candace? I'll tell you why, and it's not a put down. It's not really a compliment either. It just is what it is. We talk to 17-year-olds all night that sound like they're 25,
right?
And then once in a while, we talk to 17-year-olds sounds like they're 14.
That's you.
Not a bad way.
And true.
When your girl turned 17, would you rather her sound like she was 14 or 28?
Much rather.
Yes.
Yes, 14.
Right.
And this guy is not going to be available to you. You're going to be very attached to him. Who knows what's going to happen here? Just wait a little bit.
Like, yeah.
18.
Yeah. I wonder what he's going to do. It's never anything good.
No. Well, she won't know.
No. No. No woman ever knows what a guy does in the service. That's number one. Number two, every time we talk to someone who's in the Air Force or in the Navy or the Marines, it's always, oh, man, this is going to be exciting. What is it? And they're like, well, I work on a mail ship. Yeah. What do? I short mail.
If you recall, we've had a mail ship, a laundry ship.
No, I think I made that one up.
No, we had some sort of laundry thing, remember? We had some sort of processing.
I work on a napping vessel. People come from other vessels to nap, and I just go ahead and watch them. While they nap. Never seen action. No, we're not actually in the ocean. We're in Lake Huron. We just parked the boat there. It's moored. It's not even moored. It's actually up on blocks. We just sit there. You ever seen action? No, we don't have real guns. The barrels are made of, they're PVC pipe that are painted gray. They look like guns, but they got the red cap on the end of them, you know. Really, what else goes on this ship? Well, we have leave. I go into Michigan, and then I come back. I ate some Pringles. Yeah, we never. And by the way, has there anyone has ever called this show was in the Air Force that actually been inside an airplane?
No, not this show.
They don't do anything. No. They're like wait. Then I don't think they let them look at the airplanes. I want to talk to some guys flown some sorties. You know, who's maybe ejected. I mean, it was emptied a couple of rounds of that spent uranium into the, you know, back of some MiG or something. That's what I want. Excitement. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Through the eyes of other people, not myself.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. You ready to go?
There you go.
Patricia?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Nothing.
All right. Have any questions for us?
Yeah, I have one. My boyfriend and I have been dating for probably about 8 months now. Mm-hmm. And we've already had sex and everything.
All right, got that out of the way.
Yeah, but like he tells me he loves me and he basically treats me like a queen, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's always asking for sex or for head or anything like that.
That would make him an 18-year-old male.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know if he really actually loves me or if he's just using me.
Well,
as much as an 18-year-old male can love anything,
yeah,
he loves you.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Women, especially 18-year-old women, have a totally different feeling about sex than men. Men,
Patricia, listen carefully.
For men, it's...
Uh-oh.
I thought I heard a smoke detector.
Definitely did.
Uh-oh. The call's taking a totally different turn. I was going to... spun gold was ready to come out of my mouth. Forget it now. Now I'm on a smoke detector. Here's the beauty. The phone lines are cutting in and out tonight.
Oh, it's going to screw it up.
We'll never hear it.
Yeah.
We'll never, ever hear it.
All right, so go ahead and give your spun gold.
I'm now obsessed. The phone lines have gone out.
Patricia, speak again.
Okay. Yeah. What? Can you hear me? What,
yeah, we got your back.
Yeah.
Okay.
The phone just drops out when you stop talking.
Okay. So keep talking, but quietly. I want to hear the detector.
Okay.
Is there a smoke?
Quietly.
Just
that's
like that.
Good. That's perfect.
Is there a smoke detector near you?
Yeah, my hallway.
You want to go near it? Go near it.
Please go near it.
Why?
Walk towards it.
Okay.
By the way, don't ever ask the doctor why. Like when he says, stick your tongue out, why? Yeah, no, you so. Stick your tongue out.
Are you?
When he says...
Oh, keep talking, Patricia.
What is that, by the way? Cabin door?
Our haunted house. Patricia?
What?
She's now annoyed. Hey, Patricia, are you standing under the smoke detector?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, people understand that we have this problem with our phone line where all of you can hear the answer. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
You want to know what would be worse than the caller cutting out? The only thing that would possibly be worse is if everyone else heard the response except for us.
Which is what they do.
Which went on for 4 months before anyone alerted it to us. So we just say, huh, what, huh, what? And everyone who was driving their car went, what do you mean? What's wrong? Why didn't you hear what they said? All right, so Patricia.
Yeah.
guys want sex. Like, it's like they want sex if they want to eat, they're not using the refrigerator,
here's the deal.
The supermarket.
If you hadn't eaten for 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
and somebody threw you into the candy store or something,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and you've eaten for 2 weeks, that's the condition a guy, 18-year-old male, is in relation to sex at all times.
A little glimpse of Drew's passion and how deep
it runs,
by the way.
Would you not say that's true? No, what's unusual is it's still living for me at 46.
Drew is in that candy store. He's gobbling the goobers. He's packing the fudge. He's really working that candy store. Drew probably getting a boner just talking about food and sex. Drew, you're such a passionate man, and your passion really lies in food and in sex. You shouldn't combine them. Like, you shouldn't use food as a metaphor.
It's troubling. It's problematic.
Yeah, because you'll kill yourself.
For other people, I can talk about that.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. No, what I mean is guys want sex all the time, whether they're in love or not.
Right.
Now, it's hard to tell which is which. Now, here's what the analogy I was sort of screwing up was: guys need to eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love this restaurant? Is it your favorite? I don't know. You have to eat every day.
Yeah,
you don't always have to. It'd be great if it's your favorite place and your favorite food. How does the guy who owned the restaurant know? Because he sees you there. You know, you're eating anyway. It's hard to tell.
But here's the owner would know when the guy comes in is thankful to him. Can I bring you anything?
Yeah.
I'm so happy you're here.
He treats you like a queen.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. What else do you want?
That's about all an 18-year-old can muster.
And by the way, him wanting sex from you just means he wants to be with you. Let's look at the opposite of that. He doesn't want sex from you? Oh, by the way, you show me an 18-year-old that doesn't want sex from his 18-year-old girlfriend, I'll show you a relationship that's over.
Toast. A guy that's having sex with somebody else or thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with you and that he treats you like a queen and he's physically attracted to you, but you don't trust him?
No, it's not that I don't trust him. It's just that, I don't know, I'm just confused about if he really likes me or not. Sometimes he can be really mean towards me.
Mm-mm.
But,
give us an example.
Like...
Hold on. Are you standing under that smoke detector?
No.
Would you mind going back there?
Remember that part where we asked you to go stand underneath it?
Is that the nearest one?
Yeah, but I can take it off my wall. Would that help?
Does it chirp periodically?
No.
Is there one that does nearby?
No. This one has like a little red light that like goes off and on.
Mm-hmm. Stand next to that one.
Okay.
And by the way, I don't think anyone's ever called the show that had more than one smoke detector in their house.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're going to have people calling in with two TVs. So, all right. What do you mean he's mean to you? How is he mean to you?
Like, I don't know. He always tends to lie a lot.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Give us, an example.
Like, if I ask him... like where he's been or anything like that, he'll be like, oh, I've been at work, whenever he really got off work about an hour ago. Or...
oh, my God.
Whole hour.
But no, it's just... I don't know.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh, that was an example of him lying?
No, he doesn't take me seriously either.
Well, no guy takes their woman seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Where's your dad?
Where is he?
Yeah.
He's down in Kentucky right now.
Why is he away?
He goes deer hunting every season.
Wow.
Down there, because he can't get
there. How long does he go for?
He don't go for long.
All right. How long does he go for, but not for long? Like a week?
Yeah, sometimes like maybe 4 or 5 days.
All right, good time. He comes home with some nice venison for you?
No.
Brings veal home.
Okay, what do you eat? You don't eat what he shoots?
Yeah, but he's never brought a deer home.
Why?
Because he's banging his secretary in Miami, that's why. He goes hunting every year and never brings a deer home?
No, I think they always end up getting drunk or something.
Okay. Is he a good guy? He sounds like a delight.
I don't know. He always drinks and stuff. And
yeah, you're going to be attracted to guys like that.
Yeah.
Be careful.
All right. Yeah. You're 18. What's going on? What are you doing? We're out of
time.
What's
your next step? What's next for you in life?
I'm going to college right now.
Where?
At Southern State. And I'm going to be a mortician. So, I got to transfer after I get done college here.
Why a mortician? Why would you be attracted to that at 18?
I don't know. It's just, I've had a lot of deaths in my whole life.
Like, I see. Right.
So, like, death's always been around me because I've always been having to go to a funeral, either one, either every year or every other year. So.
Okay. Well, this, see, this like is that, more of it.
This is that again. When your dog bites you and you're a kid, you're either deathly afraid of dogs or you become a veterinarian.
Yeah.
This is that crazy thing that humans do.
All right, Patricia. Holy mackerel.
Interesting.
It's getting dark.
Yeah.
Taking a turn for the macabre.
It's like an HBO series.
By the way, what goes on with this strange mortician ritual with the coffins and the formaldehyde and the and putting the makeup on people? And what's going on? We haven't outgrown that? What are we, a bunch of just like scared tribesmen or something?
Yes.
Is it multi-million dollar a year industry? This, I'm going to buy a casket for, $5,000. I'm going to take the old man. I'm going to put him in the Armani suit. I'll put a little rouge on him. So, whatever. Hey, he's pale. Why don't you put a little color in his face? It looks, I got a better idea. Why don't you put fishing string on him and animate him? Well, why don't you stuff him and put him in the living room, you idiot? I'm just using your logic. He died 4 days ago. You want him to be alive again. Why don't you just go ahead and cover him in surfboard resin and make a coffee table out of him? He can never leave. Yeah, you idiots. Well, he's dead, but I don't want him to be dead, but only for 4 more days. It's like, well, he made it to 89, and then he died, and then I sort of made him seem alive for 4 days, and then we buried him in a $4,000 casket. Well, what is that? And what's the part where I got to get one more look at him when he's dead? I got to get another look when he's dead?
But this is primitive man. I mean, this is man needing a few days to come to terms with the reality.
Please, take a few days and come to the reality.
But they got
to
look and look like animals, come around and sniff and look and, oh, my God, and kick and punt, poke. And
what is that?
It's primitive man.
Oh, not the Corollas. I'll tell you, the Corolla. First off, the idea of burying anyone in anything but maybe just a fig leaf over their groin or underpants is considered, $5 pair of Hanes would be considered a travesty. Just you would never bury anyone in a well, first off, no one had a decent suit, but secondly, you'd never bury anyone. My family sucked the marrow out of your bones before they put you in the ground. Or they would harvest your organs. They would squeeze you, get the last bit of salt out of you, just cash that in.
Get that brown soul out.
Going through your pockets. Oh, it'd be horrible. Taking the fillings out. What are you talking about? That there's gold in there. Sure. Oh, you'd be like a car that was left out in Compton. You just stripped and put up on blocks. Number one. Number two, the idea of burying you in something that costs more than their average car of the Corollas would be unthinkable. Like a mahogany casket with, some brass knobs or something on it, handles. Are you high? No. We do a little something called the Neptune Society. Mm. They pick you up. It is literally $150.
Seriously?
Well, you sign up for it. My grandparents signed up for it, probably, 1975. Oh. It was probably $80. And by the way, they must have, my grandmother probably confounded these people because, you pay the Neptune Society, they come to your house, guy shows up in a Volare station wagon, by the way, wearing sweatpants and flip-flops at 4 a.m. Yes. It's not Quincy.
No, that's right.
There's no siren on the top of the wagon. Gurney, right?
The last person I sent off one of those was a
Neptune Society.
No, the town's country with the wood panel.
Yeah,
the
guy was driving a 79 Celica. Yeah, it was a hatchback.
Was
he stuffed my grandfather in the
town
boot.
Town country station wagon with the fake
not even
plastic
a station
wood
wagon. Pan. He put him in shotgun. Didn't even put the seatbelt on him.
You drive the fast lane now.
He drove the Diamond Lane. But again, no seatbelts, so I was angry.
Where's he going?
Well, I'm just saying. You just play. Couldn't hoit, is the old Jewish joke goes. But the point is, picked up at like 4 a.m. by a guy wearing sweatpants and a T-shirt, thrown in the back of the Volare wagon, and gone, allegedly to the crematorium. But who knows? Could have been the pound.
Could have been a couple stops.
Could have just been right up Angeles Crest Highway for a little,
I'm saying there are people in this.
Oh, into some weird stuff. How dare you? The point is this. It was probably $80.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure where they get you is like, well, okay, it's going to be $80 for us to come and pick up the body and cremate the remains. And then it'll be $175 when we have the ceremony. No, thanks. No, no, no. We scatter them over the. Yeah, yeah, we're good. No, no, but you won't be able to say. No, yeah, I heard you. No, you understand. We'll scatter the ashes over the open sea. The boat trip is going to cost $100. No, no, no. We're cool. Do you understand that the Corollas had no ceremony? That my grandfather, and by the way, he was the one they liked in the family. I don't know, I only imagine. They're going to put me on a stake and just put me in my mom's front yard. They don't like me. The grandfather was the one they liked. Nothing. Gone, rolled him right out of there in the Ferrari wagon. That was the last time. Nothing. Nothing. Nope.
Well, yeah, wait, they're realistic, right? He was gone. He's gone.
Ask me where the ashes are.
Who knows?
Oh, who? Yeah, they're in the kiln.
But they're just ashes.
That's my point.
Your family's very realistic that way.
They're super realistic when it's another $142. Yeah, they've been amazingly realistic. Not so realistic about other things. But, yes, you're dead, everybody. Save the rouge. Save the three-piece suit and the pocket watch. Save the very expensive piece of furniture we're burying you in. By the way, you know, you call the casket, everyone's okay, but let's just call it a nice piece of furniture. They're shoving you in a essentially beautiful piano and burying you. Sure. And then somebody brought this up. Oh, we got to take a break. But I'm not done. I'm not done.
Real quick.
No, I'm not done. We're going to take a break.
All right.
I'm not done.
All right, when we get back.
Hey, and then I'll be, yeah. No, I'm going to finish during the commercial.
Oh, okay.
We'll be done when we come back. All right, after this. Yeah. Woo, get it on. Got to get it on. Freak out, get it on. It's a love line, man. That's Dr. Drew. So we're talking about this sort of morbid ritual known as death and the preparation of the body and funerals and all this. People, first off, this wanting to get into the funeral business. I would have thought I would have made an entire lifetime without talking to one person that was interested in it or getting into it.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine. We've spoken to plenty of people over the years who are going to be morticians. There's good money into it. They don't seem to mind it at all. And I've always found it bizarre with the, you know, putting on the makeup and putting the body back together, and especially what happens to a body when it's dead. And, you know, propping it up and putting the suit on it. But, by the way, anyone has ever tried to get one of his drunken buddies out of a car or get him undressed and throw him in bed or something like that? I couldn't imagine getting a fat old dead guy in a three-piece suit. They must have to just cut away the back or something, just drape it over him, right?
I guess.
And then what do? You put a little stitch in the eye to keep the lid shut, and you put the little makeup on him, and then once in a while someone goes in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just dies in their sleep. Once in a while, someone gets like a crossbow through their head or something, and then you gotta put a little spackle over the hole. You know, oh, you got an exit wound, you gotta put a little spackle over that. It's just bizarre. And it's the idea that, you know, then we put you in a piece of furniture and bury you, and, you know, put you in the ground. And, you know, I think I'd like to be cremated, but my friend was talking who lost his mom. He'd say, once in a while, not anymore, but recently after she died, he'd picture her decomposing in the coffin.
Nice.
Well, think about it. This person you love very much got pumped with formaldehyde, shoved in a box, and then buried under 6 feet of ground, and now it's been 5 days. You think of your mom. Well, there she is. I mean,
it's a good argument for cremation.
Let's just cremate everyone. And by the way, how much real estate we got to use up with a bunch of people underneath us? Yeah. And then inevitably there's trouble because 100 years from now, someone wants to build a golf course, a bunch of bodies come flying around. Then the Indians get weird. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait until there's enough white people on the ground where the white people can get weird. Oh, you know what would be awesome, Drew? It'd be awesome. It would be awesome. They want to build an Indian casino. Wait a minute. There's white people in that ground. And then I show up as the white guy. None of hey. Oh, no, wait a minute.
No, yeah, you can start in their own tongue.
I speak in their own tongue. I just grab the microphone. Yeah, hey, wanna check a, wanna hey, hey, oh, yeah.
And then we
translate. Yes, my people came to this country many years ago. What, hey, 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 grandpa Jewish. What, hey, yeah, and that, hey, cheapo, hey, Neptune Society, buried at sea, penny pinching, MFR, hey, buried in lawn if possible, hey. And I speak to him in my native tongue. And then I explained to him, you guys can't break ground on this casino. There's white people in them hills. Aha. Uh-huh. And then I yell, touche.
Scream touche.
I scream touche.
You scream in Choctaw, though.
Yeah.
Which is, hiya!
No, touche is touche.
Oh, really? In Indian? Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's an Indian word.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just picked it up.
I thought it was French.
Mm-mm. Oh. Nah, a lot of people think it is. It's a touche. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll hear if you, like, watch old movies, a guy will go, yeah, hey, what, hey, touche. Yeah, not touche. Yeah, not take a what, touche. You never seen that? No? Touche turtles, Indian.
Oh,
Indian turtle.
That one's got the feather in his set.
Indian?
Red feather, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It looks like a musketeer hat, but it's feather. Indian guy. Oh, yeah. It would be so awesome. And it's bound to happen eventually.
Yeah.
Because they're building these casinos out on the outskirts of town. This was land that was settled by the round eye, the pale face, you know, 150 years ago. Yeah. Someone's going bound to be buried out there. Yeah. You know what's even better? Forget about breaking ground. They got to get halfway into the casino, maybe three-quarters of the way done, and they start digging the pool.
Yeah.
And then they find a femur from an old racist.
Yeah.
And they can tell that whoever's bone this was had blue eyes, and then I jump in. We're shutting the whole place down. My people are buried here.
Getting Gloria Allred.
Yeah. Yeah. I call that coos, and she comes down and in passionate speech about what it's like to be white. Yeah? All right. Awesome.
And poor.
Awesome. This is going to be great. It's going to happen. White people, we need you in the ground. We got to get more of you in the ground. Do what you can.
Cover more
please.
Real estate. Yeah.
Let's cover it. Spread you out. Yeah. All right. Boy, that's a good South Park episode right
now. Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right.
Write it. No.
Nick?
Yeah?
You're 18?
I am.
What's up?
Nothing much. What's happening with you guys?
Good. Our ears are bleeding. Other than that, we're fine. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking for book recommendations from Dr. Drew because I figure he's a smart guy.
All right.
Wait, I hear this.
True. The guy's been on hold for 9 minutes.
He's 18.
He had a stupid.
What I'm intrigued by is 18. He's graduated from MIT. That's what it says.
Sorry,
Nick. Did you graduate from the Massachusetts Institute for Technology? Is that what it is? At 18.
Yeah. Well, what ended up happening is I ended up graduating high school when I was 16. And got accepted to study computer science at MIT, and I took one computer science math class and said that was enough, and switched majors over to English.
And you graduated?
Yeah. Well, they didn't make me take any back core classes.
Uh huh.
Wait a minute. At MIT, you still take all those core science classes?
Well, you take some of the core science classes, but there's a lot of other classes. Like, you know, they have like PE requirements and stuff like that, where you got to take certain health classes and stuff if you're going for a four-year program. So
mm-hmm.
I pretty much doubled up on a lot of classes each term, and they didn't make me take some of the back core, like the classes that don't have to do with your major.
What?
I don't know. Drew, is it the most prestigious school in America?
It's MIT and Caltech are the two biggest science schools, I mean, they kick their ass in the sciences.
Drew loves that. Oh. Why do those kids of yours have an eating disorder? Because of you. Nick?
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke at Caltech this year, and I was talking to some of the students about the stuff that they do. It's amazing. The level of depth they get into the physics and math, all of them. It's just unbelievable.
Nick? A lot of
Asians. It's absolutely incredible.
Nick? Yeah. So, Nick, first off, you don't sound Asian. How did this work? You're a white guy?
I am a white guy.
Wow. Not Indian or Asian.
No. Isn't that weird?
It is weird, yeah. Wow. All right, yeah. Sound like you smoked some reefer too.
No, I actually, I've smoked it once, and that was enough.
Okay. What are you going to do with this degree at 18?
Nothing. I'm now back in Oregon, which is where I'm from originally, and now I'm going to OSU and working on a second degree in education.
Wow,
crazy,
genius.
OSU, from MIT to OSU,
calling all nerds. Wow.
Well, the thing was that I wanted to come back home because, like, all my friends live in Oregon, all the people I grew up with. So.
Yeah, but Oregon's right up the street there.
The guy's 18, for Christ's sake. Let him hang out with his buddies.
University of Oregon's 20 minutes up the road. He's at OSU.
Oh, really? That's a much worse school?
It's a
state school?
San Diego State, Berkeley.
Oh, really?
Go Beavers. I mean...
It's really? It's different between like...
Not quite that bad, but...
The difference between Northridge and UCLA? Mm. Uh-oh. That's bad. All right, so anyway, Nick, what's up?
Well, I'm looking for... I'm looking to tackle the next great book. I want to hear some of the stuff Dr. Drew's read. I mean, he's obviously a really well-read guy. And
yeah, world...
What
world,
about me?
Well, yeah, but my book.
All right,
read
all right.
My book, correct.
All right, quiet. Go ahead. What would you recommend for
I'd
a guy
read,
like Nick?
Don Quixote.
You would?
I would recommend.
Why?
It's an interesting piece of literature. You'd be amazed at what it actually is. Hmm. It's so farcical about two guys running getting their asses kicked. That's really what it's what? About.
Hey, have you read Don Quixote?
No, I have not.
You should read it.
Read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, James Joyce.
Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man.
James Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. James Joyce. Right on.
Joyce.
Uh-oh.
Joyce.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
I like to recommend The Phantom Tollbooth.
Oh,
it's the only book I've ever read.
It's incredible.
All right, it's a good read, yeah.
And then read my book, Cracked, if you want an interesting view of my life.
Let's get to the sex.
It was awesome. It was awesome seeing The Phantom Tollbooth and saying, I like the book better. Because I'm always waiting to make that comment. It's never come. Except for the Phantom Tollbooth. It's nothing worse. You know, let me tell you, my definition of hell is sitting in between two people who read a book that you then go see the movie version of, but you didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's Bonfire of the Vanities. Oh, the book. Oh, I read it 9 times. Oh, they're talking past you. Mm-hmm. This is just, they completely eliminated the whole, you just sit there like, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put on my dunce cap and go on a popcorn run. You guys cool? You guys want
suck my thumb.
You guys want 69 while I'm gone? suck vowels out of each other's tuchus while I'm taking a leak and thinking about killing myself? Stop. Well, I'm just saying. They're like reading, Drew.
Yeah, I know.
That's all. I know you do, too. But don't do that obnoxious thing where you go see the movie and then...
No.
It's such a badge of honor. I read a book.
Well, I make sure I don't read the book before I see the movie.
And then you have to make sure and be disappointed. Couldn't anybody be pleasantly surprised? Couldn't anyone like the movie better than the book? Or do you both have to just agree the book was fantastic and the movie sucked? And after your 20th try, don't you learn your lesson? Don't see the movie anymore. It's disappointing for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about not reading for me. My brain, clean slate. Nothing. It's like an Etch-A-Sketch that got shook. No, even better. Brand new Etch-A-Sketch. It's still in the cardboard.
Never been etched.
No etch. No sketching, no etching. Pow. Salt flats. I go in every movie. I have no idea if it was a book, but full of wonderment and awe, like a newborn. You know what I'm saying? Not polluted by the book, not jaded by the book. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Poisons the mind, that reading. It really does.
Just thinking of the great films you can go see now. Go see After the Sunset.
I don't even like reading the screen.
I noticed that.
It's too many words.
Yeah.
All right, let's... Drew, where is that place that will let you borrow books?
Library.
But it doesn't have the word book in it.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother
Libris.
Anybody.
Libris is book.
Libris. That's either a sign or an animal with the stripes. All right. I'm just saying, who's going to be stupid enough to borrow a book?
Well, that's a whole other matter.
Yeah.
They even used to have vinyl records there.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, you can throw those in your car and melt them.
My dad used to
bring them back.
My dad used to check out records from the library. What an idiot. Talk about cheap, by the way. $2 worth of vinyl, you got to take it home. By the way, the thing was, you know, probably covered with shingles and hepatitis and sebum, you know, and you're playing some, because it's all scratched up. You're playing some crap that's all warped and everything. Ugh, an idiot. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
Adam, it's been a whole week without guests. It's been good.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Gary Dorden coming in here tomorrow night from CSI. 100 episodes, everybody. All right. Where were we, Drew? You guys
funerals,
are lucky. I can't remember what I was
dead.
Talking about. All right, it's time to move on.
You had something more you wanted to talk about.
Really?
Michelle. Yeah,
I'll tell you.
No,
that was the break before.
Oh, we forgot to talk about
what we forgot to talk about is these very lovely people, Dan and Jessica, who at great expense at personal expense and time, sent us a lovely way to keep tally of the Ace's Ranchero Mexican Accordion Countdown.
Poster with a time, a clock on it.
A stopwatch. Yeah. And, you know, margin on each side so that we could, in a grease pencil, so we could keep track, or dry erase pencil. It's all laminated. It's beautiful, by the way. It has a lovely Latino man with a retarded mustache playing his beloved accordion.
Our pictures on it.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
They're from, where are they from?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. They also sent us something to keep track of the Germany or Floridas, because we never really officially keep track of who's ahead and who's behind, and we don't have a scoreboard. Well, we're like a very needy junior high, and these guys just donated a scoreboard for our gymnasium.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, big shout out to Dan and Jessica for writing us a lovely letter and sending that stuff in. All right, now it's back to the show. Speak to Travis, who's 19. Travis?
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
What's your question?
Me and my girlfriend have been having sex pretty much every day for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had no problem going for a while, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And the last 2 days, it's been like after 1 minute, I get off. And
last 2 days?
Yeah, just these last 2 days.
All right. Call us back when you get to a week.
2 weeks.
A year.
No, it's not a problem. That'll be all right.
That's fine.
Just relax.
That's just you.
Yeah.
You're cool. There's nothing we can tell you.
Nah, not really.
Beat off a little, take a breath.
Yeah.
Take a chill
Relax,
pill.
Relax, chill pill, yes.
All right, it's time to play a little Germany or Florida with Ted over here. Let me get the new tote board. Yes, Drew? Very exciting. It's an awesome picture.
Oh.
It's a picture of Hitler standing next to an old guy in a banana hammock on the beach. Yeah. Awesome look, by the way. I mean, look at that. He's got his arm around Hitler, Germany or Florida. I mean, this is a keepsake.
Wow.
This is wonderful. And I guess, we got the Velcro, got the dry erase.
Map of Germany, map of Florida behind here.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's Jacksonville.
Fantastic. That was a piece of a puzzle. Is that Germany, really?
Yeah.
Wow, look at Germany. Okay, let's talk to Ted here. Ted?
Hi.
You're 16?
Oh, yes, I am.
You've called to play a little Germany or Florida?
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Woman goes in the garage planning on committing suicide. She gets in her car and starts it on, not realizing she left the door open. She has a husband and two kids in the house. The husband and two kids end up dying along with them.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Ted, Mr. Personality. Too bad you weren't in the house.
She left the door open to the garage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened. That has actually, I've seen that happen, believe it or not.
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
I just had a whole story on that.
So I would say Florida.
You say Florida?
Yeah.
Feels like Florida.
Also, the garage attached to the house.
Yeah.
That's Florida.
Yeah. We're going Florida.
Hey, you guys are correct.
We're correct?
We're correct?
Yeah, Florida.
Score that up, Adam.
Yeah. What do I do? We both get a point?
Hatch mark, yeah.
Yeah, but then how do we know what we are for what we are?
Huh?
Or is that going to sort of... You see what I'm saying?
It's going to be total number. Just who's winning.
Who's winning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tie. But that's not going to say whether we're 17 for the last 25.
No.
It's just somewhere else. We could write that on the belly of the guy with the banana hammock.
Overall up on the picture. We're on the picture, though.
I'll give you a point. I'm going to give me 2 points.
No.
Okay. And I'm going to write one for one. Yeah?
No, just put a hash mark up there.
Hash?
Yeah.
All right, and then what, it'll be a check if...
No, just put every time there's a call, you do it on this one, and every time there's an answer that we're correct, you put it down here.
Okay, I see. So at the end, we tally up the number of calls versus the number of correct hashes.
Right.
Okay. All right, so what am I doing?
Except the problem with doing that, though, is if we both get it right...
I'm going to draw pubes on the guy with the banana hammock while I'm waiting. Yeah. Yeah, Drew, I don't know about your... You work this out.
You want to know...
What's your buddy... What's the Chinese guy's, the math department, the business department guy
Mark
over
Young?
USA? Bring him in here.
Okay.
Let's get this squared away with him. I don't trust you. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying. All right, let's. Oh, we got to get out of here. Let's talk to Adam over here. It's going to be a disaster. Adam.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
You're 22.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Not much. Just pretty interested in taking over your job in about 5 years.
All right, you got it. I don't care, by the way. It's sort of like I don't care who drives my car after I sell it to them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's
definitely.
Your car. You think you'd be good at this?
Oh, the best.
And what about innovative ideas like accordion countdown? I guess we'd have to change it to Adam's. Well, it works.
Well,
yeah,
that
your
works.
Name's Adam.
Plug
okay.
That in.
Well, that's enough, by the way. Well, I'll go in and talk to the program director, and it'll be like, well, he'll say, well, what do we do about aces? Oh, the guy's name's Adam. Oh, well, that's done.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I also got a tape. Oh, no, save it. He's cool. Bring him in. So, what kind of ideas will you bring to the table, you know, such as Germany or Florida?
One of those public service announcements came on about mm-hmm. the turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually working with the Ad Council, and I'm going to definitely ridicule them for bringing that out so often.
Okay. But that's
just sort of... in the next couple of years.
Right. That's kind of just warming over one of my bad ideas. Yeah?
Yeah. All right. That's all anyone knows how to do.
Let's take a quick break. Be right back after this. It's Loveline. Anderson, you know the pardoning of the turkey ceremony that the president does on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Around Thanksgiving every year?
Yeah, he doesn't kill them.
Right. And they go to a farm. And then once in a while they do an expose on it where they check on the turkeys how well they actually doing. And
they go to a petting zoo.
And there's like a farm/petting zoo somewhere in upstate, wherever, and it turns out they're not doing so good.
Yeah, they usually die within a year.
Yeah, because they get like fattened up and, you know, they're not really... They're not made. They're not like wild turkeys. They're weird, sort of diseased, you know, fat turkeys. You know,
edible turkeys are not.
The ones, you know, turkeys that are in the wild, like fly and stuff, and they're you know, you can't fly. Picture the turkey. Picture a 25-pound butterball flying.
Right.
Yeah.
No way.
All right, need like a huge potato cannon. I'm gonna get one to fly. I'm gonna take a little extendo break. A little CSI action tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I even hate myself.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.